morning. Today is Tuesday, February the 21st. Joining us this morning is the General Manager of the Humboldt Community Services District, Dave Hall.
Hi,
Brian. Good morning, sir.
How are you?
You brought colors and pictures and all kinds of funny things.
Well, I brought some things. Yeah. I figured we'd have to talk about the drought today.
The drought? Yeah, I wanted to talk to you about the drought also. At least a moment or two with it. Oh, let's see. James Allen is our source this morning. There is no evil in the universe which is not the result of ignorance, and which would not, if we were ready and willing to learn its lesson, lead us to higher wisdom, and then disappear.
Well, that's a thinker.
Yeah, well, you know, every once in a while. We try to encourage thinking around here.
Really?
Yeah, I know. Sometimes more than... Some days more than others, but just say that as it is. So we have got this thing, according to the governor, called a drought.
Yes.
Now, I don't know what it's going to take to get out of this drought. What are we, 70% above normal here?
Right.
I would believe that Butte County is pretty darn close to the same level that we've got. L.A. County got their year's worth in a day and a half. What is the official designation or definition that the governor is using for drought?
Well, there actually is some, but it's more of a, as you can imagine, it's more of a political sort of a thing that moves. It actually moves. Let me read you just a second. And for those that don't know, last week on February 8th, was that last week? Yeah, I think it was last week. Or so. The State Water Resources Control Board re-upped their emergency regulations on the drought. Let me just read you one little piece of this. This is right out of what they did. It says, the government's, the drought conditions that formed the basis of the governor's emergency proclamations, I remember that was back in 2014, continue to exist. And they added this, in portions of the state, and snowpack and reservoir conditions for the end of the water year remain subject to significant change.
Well, that sounds like Jabberwocky, doesn't it?
Yeah, but basically what they're saying is, basically this is the way it ended up. They're saying, which a lot of us worked long and hard to get in there, was that one size doesn't fit all. So this is where they had the cutout. So the drought conditions existed portions of the state. They added that.
Well, portions. However, that was the magic word.
However, okay. The rules apply to everybody. So for the next 270 days. Well,
so you're not celebrating yourself too much.
No.
Okay.
No. You know, it was 130 agencies said, you know, you focus on the areas that actually have a drought and leave us alone. And they didn't do that.
Oh, boy. We'll see if we can get a little passion going here when we come back, huh?
Yep.
130 yes, one no, and the no carries. Only in California. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:23. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Dave Hall. Dave, considering the impact to so many agencies, to so many communities, to so many individuals that a drought status has, are McGuire or Woods doing any head thumping or drum banging or anything to say, hey, wait a minute, this is goofy? Because if you can't do it from your perspectives, then obviously the communities are laughing or crying, depending on the status of the rivers in their neighborhood, now about the amount of water we have, and the governor still isn't pulling off from this thing or has driven stakes on it. Wouldn't that be the only remedy?
Well, I think, I guess the real answer to your question is I'm not sure currently what their position is on it. I know Humboldt Bay Municipal Water District had worked with both their offices a year and a half ago or something. They were both supportive of you know, treating our area as if it didn't have a drought. But certainly the places that have water shortages or are drier in the state need to work on things. We haven't for, well, the whole time it was dry, but we never actually crossed into, you know, what would you would call a drought. We never ran out of water. We never even implemented any harsher water restrictions than what the state told us to do. So, and so those are back. Just so everybody remembers, for another 270 days until, so that's sometime in October, we're still going to live with the you can't wash your car unless you have a hose nozzle on it so you can shut the water off. You can't let
your... Just park outside.
Yes, I know. No kidding. I don't think we're going to be washing cars
out of the garage.
Anyway.
It'll take care of itself. Don't worry.
If you have a fountain or something that's not recycling, you know, not recirculating water, if it's just water in and water out, that's a problem. I don't think anybody has those anymore anyway. And this is something we talked about last time. You know, a lot of these ideas of conservation, these practices that the government has continued to
foist
leave in place here are really things that a lot of people do anyway. You know,
but it's different if you're doing it at free will versus servitude.
Well, it is. It absolutely is. And I think that's what we some of us worry about is, you know, a lot of people are skeptical about government anymore anyway. And so when they clearly... they clearly put out restrictions that you know, kind of fly in the face of what you can see. You can see everything's flooding and everything, whatever, and yet we have an emergency drought declaration that's gone for another 270 days. It makes it so that it's kind of the cry wolf thing. It, you know, at some time they're going to have something that's really important, and a lot of people are going to say, "Oh yeah, that's like that fake drought we had."
So it was 270. Days. I heard initially 270 weeks.
Yeah, no, it's 200.
So it's not the 5-year plan.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's 270 days.
So it's
started on February 8th. So
it's 1 year at a time now.
And it has been since 2014. Because they can only go with an executive order on an emergency thing for 270 days apparently. So
when does it morph into a permanent?
Well, that's, you know, there's been several water agencies, particularly down in Southern California, that have always thought the governor was on kind of shaky ground anyway, make an executive order for something like this. And certainly with the weather conditions, it probably gets even a little more skeptical. But I think, you know, the whole package of the water regulations, it's all good stuff. It's all common sense. A lot of it's common sense stuff. But it's stuff that a lot of us living in California have done since the 70s anyway.
Yeah, I mean, you just don't let the hose go running down the gutter. I mean, duh.
Yeah, exactly.
Just some of that basic. Let's shift a little bit, and then we can get back into why you brought pounds and pounds of paper here. The Oroville and Anderson Dams.
Yeah.
There was some speculation nationally even about California not recognizing the issues with the Oroville Dam years ago, maybe faking it, maybe punting on it, whatever it was, and that the state has a huge liability issue associated with that, the disruption for those communities, as well as the structure itself. Has the governor said anything at all about that? I know that there were some monies released through, what, FEMA?
Yes.
Now, does the state have to match that? Or is it all federal monies?
Well, it's it depends on which program they actually tapped, and I'm not actually certain which one it is, but in some FEMA programs, there is a match for it. Some of them are just outright, if it's a disaster declaration, sometimes it's all federal money that goes into that. The governor did do that. Back to your liability question, though, I think the state probably does. It's probably why you're not hearing more about it. And so, I mean, whether they do or not, it's going to get sorted out in court, and I'm sure it's going to end up somewhere like that. But it's...
Well, in the meantime, what are
those communities? But it might be anyway. Even if it wasn't, you know, there will be people that will say, well, you deferred the maintenance and you didn't do it right. Now, apparently that looks like that's what happened, but, you know, we'll have to get the facts first.
Lessons there for Humboldt County?
Just not defer the maintenance. And I think, you know, our reservoir up at Ruth has really good maintenance on it. The Humboldt Bay Municipal Water District and the Services District up there, they do a great job of keeping track, keeping it maintained, looking for these things. There's all kinds of state and federal programs, dam safety programs that are in place, and our dam's in good shape.
And infrastructure, I guess we'll have to squeeze that into the next half of the show. KINS News and Information Time is 8:30.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time, 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Dave Hull, General Manager of the Humboldt Community Services District. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting and by REDEC. Dave, the part of what you do is to get the water to the house, et cetera, and the other part is going from the house away.
Correct.
Ah, see? I've mastered the concept. Over the years, there's been discussions about not overwhelming the water treatment facility. That's a big deal. It's very problematic when it happens. It's very expensive when it happens. How do we avoid it? Da da da. And you built capacities to avoid that. And then we have a rainfall year like this, where we're almost 70% above normal so far. That was before today. Could be 175
before last
now.
Hour. Yeah.
Yeah. Is there concern that the water treatment plants are, there's just too much coming down, and is that causing any complications?
So we're talking about the sewer system or our wastewater collection system. It's important to remember that Humboldt Community Services District surrounding the city of Eureka, we're actually part of the same sewer collection system. So our system, city system, they're all eventually get tied together, and they all end up down at Elk River, or down at the wastewater treatment facility that's down there. So let me back up in history, answer your question just a little bit. Back in the let's say the early 80s, clear, you know, back into time, there was a several little tiny treatment plants that were scattered around the bay. There was one at Washington Street, one down at Hilfiker, one up here by Silvercrest. And those little tiny plants didn't have any capacity. So when we got what you're referring to, what we call inflow and infiltration, that's where you get so much groundwater that it squeezes in through little cracks in the sewer pipes, or, you know, little flaws in the grout at manholes and things like that. Or even, you know, to some extent, coming in through sewer cleanouts down at King Salmon when the tide gets over all those sewer cleanouts. That all contributes to the system. In the old days, those little treatment plants couldn't handle that. And so if there was more water came in than the treatment plant was designed for, it went right out into the bay. It went straight out into the bay. So you had raw sewage, albeit diluted, you had raw sewage going right out into the bay. That was one of the major reasons that with our oyster industry being as important as it is and just water quality in general, that was one of the reasons that Arcata did what they did with their wastewater treatment plant upgrading, and the city of Eureka got rid of all those little treatment plants, built the big one down at Elk River.
So it was a protection of the fish industry?
The oysters and water quality, right.
Well, there was we used to have a fishing fleet back then, too.
That's right. Same era, yeah. Made the treatment plan and the fishing industry went away. Yeah, no, they're still here and doing well, although not like they were in the 80s. So the wastewater treatment plant then was designed to, and this is the way they design plants nowadays, is there's a certain flow that they're designed for, kind of a minimum flow, you know, the average daily dry weather flow, right? So that's like in summertime, that's how much it takes to keep things moving, keep things operating, things like that. They also have a wet weather flow that's designed to have, you know, all the pumps are on, everything's working, all this kind of stuff. There's also, our treatment plant has the ability to bypass, if we get a lot of INI, like we're probably getting right now, a lot of inflow and infiltration coming down there. It's more than even the treatment plant at full race wet weather flow can handle. It bypasses it to a pond system, and then as the flows drop down, it will bring that back into the system for treatment.
So it's kind of like a holding tank.
So it's kind of like a holding tank, right? So and remember, this is very, very, very diluted now. Also, you know, treatment plants, you know, this could be three times what its capacity a dry weather flow is. So. Very, very diluted, but that's the way we cover that, and it's contributed a great deal toward cleaning up the bay. Both Arcata and Eureka's treatment plants have, and so we've got that thriving oyster industry that has a lot less closures, although they're no doubt closed now. It's not because of the treatment plants.
So with the diversion, is it certain water, like street water? Or runoff water, is there any way to do that?
No.
Or is it just a percent of the volume coming down the pipe, it gets shunted off?
It's just a percent of the volume. And remember, the wastewater treatment plant is only set up to handle, or it's only intended to handle just what comes, you know, from your toilets and your showers and the drains, those kind of things. It does not include any stormwater. So the storm drains still run off into, you know, directly or indirectly to the bay. Around the bay here, and this was something that went out of favor decades and decades and decades ago. If you combine the storm water, you know, the storm drain system with the sewer plant, your sewer plant has to be a mammoth, and it's going to have a problem running.
Because everything has the same measurement.
Because if it's going to treat all that water, you know, that's a giant treatment plant. So the storm drain water.
So if we back it up, then if the outside weather has very little to do with what's going through the water treatment plant, because it showers. Well, we're not taking more showers. We're not cleaning more dishes. We're not using the toilet more often. Why is there any adjustment other than loose joints in the pipes?
Well, that's what it is. You essentially have what you're
by
saying.
Itself, the same, that's enough.
The same load of sewage, right, that's going through there. You just have more volume of water that's pushing that because of some of these leaky pipes that end up down at the plant.
KINS, News and Information Times 842. We'll be back with more from Dave Hall.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS News and Information. It's 8:47. We're back to talk shop this morning with Dave Hall.
I just wanted to add one more thing on the INI discussion we were having in the last segment. You know, it's I don't want anybody to think that that any of the agencies around here just accept that the sewer pipes leak and stuff. We all have very active programs. We all work with the state on you know, doing the best we can to try to find these leaks, fix them when we can, and minimize the INI component. The one at King Salmon's an interesting one. You know, when we have those king tides and people have pulled the plugs off of their sewer cleanouts because they want to drain their yard, they're actually draining the bay into the sewer system. So that's kind of an oddity, those. But that's something that our district certainly works with. So I just want to let everybody know that we're not just sitting back. We're actually working all the time on INI issues in our sewer
system. Well, we see your trucks out there working all the time,
yeah,
digging things up.
Yeah, that's half of it. The other half being the water.
Oh, I see the other half are the guys themselves. Yeah, okay.
Last thing I want to just get out today, you know, we are still continuing to work on our rate study, something that we started back in about 6 months ago. Both the City of Eureka and HCSD hired the same consultant so that we could, at least since, again, we're all joined on the water and wastewater systems, that we can be able to compare notes and get the best rate for everybody out there, the most understandable and rational rate that's possible. We've had a couple of meetings now. Our board has met, and the consultant's first presentation, after they'd done a lot of financial analysis for the district and decided this is where the financial health of the district ought to be and what the level of reserves ought to be in case we have emergencies, things like this. And they presented some numbers for the district to consider. The board looked at that. Those all had kind of a peak in the first year. The water and sewer rate increases had a peak in the first year. Board sent them back and said, you know, we'd like to flatten that out a little bit, not necessarily, you know, have a big jump. Although the big jump, quote, big jump on the water side is $13 more a month. And then it drops back at year five to about less than a dollar a month more. As it goes, the $13,
compounded.
$13 stays, but then it trails off. So the amount of increase gets less and less until you get to the 5 year thing. Similarly, the sewer side, it goes up to about I think it was about $6 a month was year one, and then it drops off to down to 69 cents or something at the at year five. So those things are continuing to go on. We've got another meeting on February 28th, which I think the board's heard a couple of presentations now. They've got some rates that I think are getting close to being best we can do and maintain the financial health of the district, allow us to continue to make the improvements and not defer maintenance on our system and keep water coming through the faucet and going down the toilet. So
flowing downhill, you betcha. Thanks for coming by, Dave.
Thank you.
See everybody tomorrow.